Welcome to minute 104 of season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Duncan Shields of Chronologically Speaking.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here. I'm very, very, I'm really enjoying revisiting this film and talking about it.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun talking to you about it. So minute 104 begins with the men continue to cover the graves and ends with the squad walking through a clearing. So basically we ended things yesterday with Miller finding a way to make peace with Ryben and all the men, basically, so that everyone will come together and work on something to try and save their humanity.
Yeah.
The men all get together and are burying the bodies of the dead German soldiers that they had just killed. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really interesting is at the end of yesterday's minute, we saw that I believe if I can read the silhouettes right properly. So Jackson passes over a shovel to Mellish. Mm-hmm. And this minute shows Jackson using his own helmet to scoop up dirt and spread it on the grave.
Oh, no way. I didn't catch that. That's cool.
And it's just very interesting to show it that way. And, the men are working in the background, back with all the silhouettes. You can see it in a second, two or three of this minute. It's like right at the beginning.
Ah, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Good catch. Yeah.
And, I guess they didn't have enough shovels.
No.
You know, if you can't shovel it. So, basically, the men are in the background doing the work right now. And then we see Miller just like walk away from all of them. He looks like he's in somewhat of a daze, the way that he's, moving back and forth. But again, amazing cinematography here, showing the silhouette of Miller, against the sunset, basically, because here we are at the end of a day, that type of thing. And he just like looks around, takes a big deep breath. I guess taking in the beauty of the sunset. That's the way it looks.
Either that, or I think he might be just. I remember there was a Louis C.K. bit that was saying that when a father goes on vacation with his family, his vacation is 7 seconds long, that they get the whole family packed, bundled up, put into the car before the drive to wherever they're going to go. You get the kids in the back, you get the wife in the front, close all the doors, and then the father walks from the passenger side around to the driver's side to get in the car and start the drive. That walk around the front of the car, that's his vacation.
because everyone's silent, you're saying.
Everybody's in the car. There's no demands being made on him. He's just in transit for a little bit, but then as soon as he gets back into the car, real life's going to start up again, and the troubles that are going to happen are going to happen. And I think that that's what this moment is, as he's successfully headed off a crisis. And there is a small moment of peace here.
Okay. Now, and, is that how you experience? Is that how you experience vacation?
No, that's not how I experience vacation, but I could definitely understand the essence of the bit. That there are moments, or there's also a moment in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray's reading a book in a diner. Mm-hmm. And there's a good song on the radio, and he just looks up for a second, says, "Ah, I like this song." and kind of looks around the diner for a second, and then like gets a smile on its face and goes back to reading. There's just like a moment of like, oh, this is really nice. But it's that brief. It's that brief, right? Because our human brains are human brains, right? But there's just these little glimmers occasionally that come along. And I think this is one of those. For someone like Tom Hanks, who's living at a stress level of 900, there's a sunset. Everybody's quiet doing their work. For the moment, there's no demands that are being meant that are on him. And he's just successfully stopped a mutiny. Today's mutiny, this week's mutiny, this month's mutiny, whatever. The machine is going to keep on trucking for another day, and he's just got a moment here where the guard is down, and he's like, "Okay, which did he have a little breakdown before these minutes? No, yeah. So, and I think so. He's gotten kind of today's breakdown out of the way as well, and so he's like." Normally, when people are operating at that level, they get like a moment of happiness and kindness. Then they burst into tears for half an hour because they've got like, they're held up so tight that any crack in the dam creates like this outrush. And so that's what happened to him with his breakdown earlier, but that's done with. So for today, there's just a slight little moment of peace here. Which could also be construed as him looking at the sunset and going, "Well, that's really nice." Like I think it's all wrapped up together.
Well, you see, I like the way they do it based on the things that we were talking about yesterday, how, as far as he's concerned, he's trying to make the life in the war more palatable to them, for them to be able to make the transition back to the real world afterwards. So he's possibly saying, okay, here's, he talked about yesterday that, he doesn't know if he'd be able to talk to his wife about today, but now we actually found something that he can talk to his wife about. At the end of this day, I had a very tough day, whatever it is, and at the end of the day, I got to see this beautiful sunset.
Oh, that's nice. I like that way of looking at it.
While my men were burying the dead Germans that we killed, that too bad.
Yeah. What
Yeah,
else happened that day, dear?
you're
Oh,
reading out.
nothing much, but it was a really good sunset. Yeah.
That's right. It was a great sunset. It was a great sunset. And then the scene changes, and it's apparently the next day already, because
Yeah.
if we were at dusk. That's it, because now it looks like it's morning, maybe even midday, and we get a clear shot of Mellish as he's walking there. He's walking through a field. Are those poppies? Would you say that he's going through a poppy field?
No, I'd say
No.
that's saffron, maybe.
Okay. I'm not I'm not a flower person at all, so I
Not
got
a
okay.
botanist. My botany experience with poppies ends and begins with they're red. These are yellow. So
The closest
that's
I come is if I talk about the Botany Bay.
the Botany Bay. Botany Bay. Botany Bay.
You remember the Botany Bay?
Oh
That's from
yeah,
Star Trek.
that's where Khan was kept.
That's right. That's
Don't
right.
open up,
Okay.
no matter what universe you're in, don't open up the
Exactly. Okay, I wanted to make sure you got
Botany.
that reference. That's fine. As Mellish is walking, he starts to actually sing softly. And I must tell you that in all the times I've seen this movie, I've never paid any attention to what it is that he's singing.
Yeah.
Okay? And it turns out that this is the song that is the opening outro and intro of my of this podcast.
Oh, what?
Yes. So
Oh,
my friend of the show, David Brooke, that went through the list of songs in the movie and said, oh, this is the one I want to do. And I was like, sure, go ahead. And now we're at 104 episodes. I've been trying to rack my brain. I keep saying to myself, I'm wondering when I'm going to get to the point where they actually have this song in the movie. And
Right.
you know, when I was doing my research for this week's episodes, and I came across it, I'm like, wow, I finally found it. And I've seen this movie dozens of times, you know, but
Yeah,
never
yeah.
paying any attention to it, you know. And like when David told me that that's the song he wants to use, I was like, okay, I guess it's somewhere. I'll deal with it. You know, it's like it's a good choice, so why not? So the rest of this minute is basically
Oh, but what's the song?
Melish, one second, Melish singing
Oh,
the
sorry.
song, and the
Good.
song is known as "In My Solitude."
Yeah,
Okay.
by it's like when I found that it was Solitude by Billie Holiday.
That is correct, but the original is by Duke Ellington.
Yeah, the original is Duke Ellington. Okay, because I wasn't sure, because I know that it was there's a like it was off of Billie Holiday's album titled Solitude, so I was like, I wasn't, but I still wasn't sure if it was hers first or what. So okay, Duke Ellington, right? Okay.
Yes. So Duke Ellington composed the song was composed in 1934. Lyrics by Eddie DeLange and Irving Mills.
There you
It's
go.
considered a jazz standard, and
Sure.
it's been recorded so many times by so many different people, including Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. The original recording apparently took them 20 minutes to do it. No,
Wow.
sorry. No, sorry. It took Ellington 20 minutes to compose the song. Sorry.
Okay.
Originally, when Ellington he was stuck in a recording studio waiting for his orchestra to show up, and he sat down, and it took him about 20 minutes to sit down and compose this entire song.
Wow.
And the title was suggested by his trumpeter Arthur Wetzel.
Okay.
And basically the you know, so th this was originally recorded on January 10th, 1934.
I see.
And then a few months later, he recorded it again, and it actually reached number two on the charts in 1935.
Ooh, nice.
And then they started doing different versions of it. You know, different people started using the song, and you know, it got very, very popular. The Mills Blue Rhythm Band did a rendition that reached number eight. Between 1934 and 1942, there were at least 28 different versions of this song that was recorded. Billie Holiday recorded the song several times in the 40s and 50s, and in 2021, one of her versions was actually put into the Grammy Hall of Fame. The lyrics. So again, I'm not going to go through the points of what Mellish is singing of it, because I'll just go through the whole thing. So it's "In my solitude, you haunt me with reveries of days gone by. In my solitude, you taunt me with memories that never die. I sit in my chair filled with despair. There's no one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad. In my solitude, I'm praying, dear Lord above, send back my love. I sit in my chair filled with despair. There's no one could be so sad with gloom everywhere. I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad. In my solitude, I'm praying, dear Lord above, send me back my love." So,
Very
interesting
uplifting.
lyrics. Yeah.
That's a downer. That's a downer of a song. But it's like in that Simpsons episode, the blues ain't about making people feel better. It's about making sad people feel worse. And I always like that. Like, if you really want to roll around in what you're feeling, it's nice to know that somebody else has also been there and wrote a song about it.
No, I mean, I find it very interesting that this is being, you know, sung by a soldier as he's, you know, marching along on this mission.
Yeah, this is the kind of scene where you do the da 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 da
Exactly.
da da, or you'd be like,
That's right. And
there I was just a walking down the street singing, like it's like a sing along, but this is that scene,
that's right.
except he's singing wistfully the sad Solitude song, which is probably a more honest representation of the moment and their emotional state.
Yeah, probably. And I mean, what I love about it is that Mellish is the only one who's singing it, but they give us different shots of the various characters listening to him sing. You know, they're all very attentive to what he's saying. So first we get a shot of Mike. You know, and they're all, you can see the different expressions on their faces as to, you know, what they possibly are thinking as they're listening to him, you know, with this rendition of this Duke Ellington song. Then we get Jackson, you know, who's walking along listening to it also. And then,
Yeah, Mike is Tom
yeah,
Sizemore. Is
Mike and
that?
Tom Sizemore.
Yeah.
And
Interesting dude. Interesting dude. What a strange brief. I don't think Faye agreed with him very much.
no, but he's been in a lot, he was in a lot of movies.
It's great on screen.
Yeah,
Great on screen.
completely. Then we have Ribin also walking, listening to everything going on. And he looks like he's sort of, you know, contemplating some deep stuff there. And then we have
Yeah.
Brock, who is just looking up at the sky as he's listening to the way that this music's going. And then, you know, we get a shot from behind Miller. So we see in front of them what's going on. You know, we have this forest in front of them that they're walking towards. But again, we're accompanied by this vocals singing by Mellish about the whole thing. You know, about sitting in a chair at in despair.
I'm very glad that the actual song itself doesn't start to bleed in, with like orchestral accompaniment in the background as they walk off into the forest or whatever. It's just Mellish singing.
Sure. It works really well this way. I like it
Yeah.
also. You know, because if you want to listen to the orchestral orchestra, if you want to listen to the musical version of this, you listen to the opening of this, you know, of this podcast. You know, David does a nice job. You don't need to, you know, we don't need Duke Ellington's version. We need David Brooks' version. Yeah.
I like all the shots here of all the people because it's sort of a little bit of a here's who's left. Like this is a little visual primer for the people in the audience of just here's who we've got now. And I always liked like I wonder what in the movie Ghostbusters there's the guy that's like when Pencil Neck here, and it's
Bill Murray says that.
yes it's true.
This man has
This
no
man
dick.
has no dick. That actor, the guy who the EPA agent,
Richard Thornburg. That's
William,
a, you know, Die
what's
Hard.
that?
Richard Thornburg from Die Hard. William Atherton.
Yeah, William Atherton. Good old William Atherton. His like I think we might have even talked about it when I was on Die Hard, is that his life was kind of made hell. After very, very professionally and effectively playing conniving, wormy, bad guys that everybody hated. He's like, he said to this day, people will drive by him and go like, "Hey, Dickless," and he's like, "Yep, that was in 1984." Hilarious,
It's only been
zing,
41 years since then. Yeah.
and there's been a few people. I think Louise Fletcher was a. There's been a few, or the guy Brendan. The bad guy in Game of Thrones, the boy king, the horrible boy king in Game of Thrones. I think it was it's not I'm thinking Brendan Gleeson, but I know I've got that
It's
wrong.
not
But
Brendan Gleeson.
not Brendan Gleeson, no. But there's been people that are so
Joffrey.
effective at playing bad guys or that they have a hard time living their lives afterwards because people confuse them with the role they played. And I wonder what happened to Jeremy Davies after Band of Brothers came out because every time he shows up in a production, like I saw him recently in Black Phone, the Stephen King adaptation, I think it was called Black
Yeah.
Phone. He was so good in that as like a sort of a alcoholic abusive father or whatever. But he showed up in Lost. Every time he shows, or was that the American remake of that trippy science fiction one? with George Clooney as a anyway, but Solaris, he showed up in Solaris, and he's just such got a such a great cool face and an earnest composure, but he was such an effective person who shut down in a very, very pivotal moment in this movie, and everybody's favorite character, ends up coming to a brutal end, and it was basically all his fault. And I think there's a lot of people that who saw, if anybody saw Jeremy Davies in person for about 5 or 6 years after this movie, they were probably like, you suck, you coward, you're the reason he died. It's like, it was a
The
movie.
character, the few of the few of the characters end up dying because of him, so yeah.
And he doesn't get a big triumphant, like he does end up doing something good, sort of, at the end,
Sort of.
but sort of,
He'll
but he
have
doesn't.
nightmares for years after that one.
I don't think, I think his entire life would be definitely. Anyway, so it's just a nice little depiction of who's left here, and that's, I just wanted to say a few words on each of the people
Yeah,
that
no,
are
that's great.
left.
That's fine. And that's how this minute ends. We're waiting to see what happens in this field.
There is one thing I wanted to talk about was I went to Paris in the summer, and when I first saw this movie, I'd never been to Paris. So now, throughout the ruins of Rommel, there's ads for a drink called Byrrh, I think it's called, BYRRH, which is like a French drink that people add to their beer, like a liqueur. There's ads for a liqueur called Suze, Suze, that people have with tonic water and stuff like that. So there's these ads for these things that are uniquely French that I know now
Oh, wow.
that I didn't before. So there's a thing, like they say, like, what was it? I think Muhammad Ali said that a person who has the same opinions at 30 that he does at 50 has wasted 20 years of his life. Like, you change as a person. So watching a movie as a 20-year-old, it's like watching Mrs. Doubtfire. Watching Mrs. Doubtfire when you're 16, you're like, oh, Sally Field is such a downer. What a drag. Oh, evil Pierce Brosnan trying to ruin the happy ending. But then as an adult, when you watch it, you're like, wow, Robin Williams is an idiot. He is a 5-year-old living in an adult's body. Sally Field seems reasonable, and I get where she's coming from. And Pierce Brosnan isn't a bad guy at all. He's actually really cool. So, you see the same movie, but now it's a different movie.
Right.
And it's like that when you watch, say, Trainspotting or something. Like, I watched Trainspotting when it came out. Then I lived in Edinburgh for 5 years. Then I watched Trainspotting again, and I was watching a whole different movie because I'm like, I know all these places. I know all this. And it's the same watching Band of Brothers here, because you see it as a young person. Everybody talks about the opening 15 minutes. And you see it as an older person, you start to really identify with different aspects of the film than you would have when you were younger. And also, having been to France now, I saw these ads in the background that I was like,
That's
oh,
remarkable.
I know that, or I've seen, like the subway on France has very unique handles, the metro does. And so you could, once you've been there, you see that in a movie, and you're like, oh, I know those handles, or I've been to the Arc de Triomphe, or whatever, right? It's suddenly a little bit of a different movie, like a little Easter egg, just because you've been
That's
there.
very cool. That's very cool. All right, so every Thursday we have a segment called Say What Thursday. Say
Okay,
what?
all right.
Say what again? All right.
Say what again?
I dare you. I double dare you.
No, what's not no country I ever heard of?
That's right.
Say what again?
That's right. So the idea is that this game that we're going to play is all about movie quotes. Okay.
Okie
So
doke.
this movie that we're currently dissecting has many, 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 many famous actors who have been in many, many, many other movies. So,
Indeed.
what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a movie quote, and I will tell you what year it came out, and you have to tell me what movie it's from and who is the actor who says the line. Now, obviously, because there are so many people in this movie, I I'm gonna give you a choice of just three. It's only gonna be of three different actors. It could either be Tom Sizemore, Matt Damon, or Dennis Farina. Those are your three choices.
I almost wish you hadn't have done that, but okay, that's fine. Okay, that's good. Tom Sizemore, Dennis Farina, or
Or
who?
Matt Damon.
Or Matt Damon.
All
Okay.
right. So we'll start off with with an easier one. So from a movie in 1996. Okay. And the quote is, "F you, f-ball."
Oh man. 1996? I feel like that'd be Dennis Farina and Snatch.
You're close. It is Dennis Farina. It is
Oh,
not
okay.
Luke.
Locks? No. Oh, Dennis Farina in. Oh, shoot. The one with George Clooney. I love that one. Out
Nope.
of Sight? Out of
Nope.
Sight? Dennis Farina, Out of Sight?
Nope.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, I give up.
It was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Does that help at all?
Was that like a Bad Boys joint or something like that? Or a
Oh,
movie,
no, 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 no,
like a cop movie? Barry Sonnenfeld. Nope, I'm drawing a blank on it.
no. What other, let's see what other hints I can try and give you.
Yeah.
What other actors are in this movie that would possibly help you? Rene Russo is in this movie.
Oh, is this Get Shorty?
Yes, it is. Very good.
It's Get Shorty. That's right. That's right. He's in that.
Three
Okay.
bones.
Phew. I got there in the end.
Three bones. All right. Next one. Remember, it can only be Tom Sizemore, Matt Damon, or Dennis Farina. Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, it doesn't need to be. It's possible that one or two of them we won't even use. You do know that. It doesn't have to be.
I hope it they're all Dennis Farina. I hope you do an all Dennis Farina special with this, but okay, let's go.
Okay. So the next one is a movie from 2000. Hey, Santa Claus, welcome to the Tomahawk.
Oh, jeez. Hey, Santa Claus. Welcome to the Tomahawk. And it could be Sizemore, Farina, or Matt Damon. 2000. Is it Matt Damon in Rounders?
Nope.
Tomahawk. Jeez. Welcome to the Tomahawk. Hey, Santa Claus. Welcome to the Tomahawk. 2000. Dennis Farina. It sounds like something that Tom Sizemore would say. Santa Claus Christmas movie. So I don't know, Jingle All the Way. Is that around them? Man, I don't know. Gosh,
Okay,
that's a tough one.
it also stars Ben Affleck.
Reindeer Games?
Yeah,
No, not Reindeer
that
Games.
is
Isn't that it?
Duncan. That's
Is
amazing.
that it? Yeah,
Well,
right.
but who's the actor?
It's not Matt Damon, I don't think. It might be. Oh, but Ben Affleck's. That's Ben Affleck's movie, so it might be Matt
No,
Damon.
I've already told you it's not Matt Damon. So they're
It's not Matt Damon. Okay, well then I'm gonna. I guess I'll go Tom Sizemore.
No, it's Dennis Farina.
And Dennis Farina again. Oh, yay! Good, good, good. My good
All
buddy Dennis Farina. Okay, all right.
right.
So I got the movie. I
You
got the
got the
movie.
movie.
I
That's
got the
very
movie.
impressive. Very impressive. Okay, next one.
Yeah.
From 1993. Man, this boy Clarence is a wild one. I like him.
Oh, that's True Romance,
Excellent.
and that's the Dennis Farina again.
No.
No, it's Tom. Oh, it's Tom Sizemore.
Tom
That's right. He's
Sizemore.
listening on the
That's right.
headphones,
That's
right?
right.
And he's like, "Ah, this guy, yeah, that's right."
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Next one. From 2000. Blagged. Speak English to me. Tony, I thought this country spawned the f language, and so far nobody speaks it.
Yeah, that's definitely that's Dennis Farina in Snatch, I
Yes,
think.
it is. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. And
He's also got sit down and shut up, you big bald f**k, or something like that. That's also one of his snatch
yeah.
quotes.
And then the final one is from 2006. Okay. Put the f gun down. Put the gun down. All right. I came here to talk some sense into you.
Oh shit. That's gonna need some narrowing down. Came here to talk some sense into you. Put the gun down. Put the gun down. Oh, 2006. Is that Matt Damon in The Bourne Identity?
It is Matt Damon, but it is not in the Bourne Identity.
One of the Bourne Identity
No,
movies, like The
no,
Bourne
no, no, no,
Supremacy,
no,
or
no, no,
okay,
no.
all right.
Not in that series.
It's not Good Will Hunting. Put the gun down. I came here to talk some sense into you. Oh boy, he's been in so many movies. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. What's some other?
Okay, the movie also stars Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen, holy ding dongs. Oh, Martin Sheen. Is he the British one?
No,
No, Martin
no.
Sheen's American. He was the
Well,
West Wing
exactly,
Martin
yes.
Sheen? Yeah, okay. Michael Sheen. I always get Michael
Perfect.
Sheen and Martin Sheen mixed up. Yeah, Martin Sheen. Came here to talk. Oh, The Departed.
Very good. Excellent.
Yes, The Departed. Oh my
See,
gosh.
Duncan,
Okay.
you did amazingly. I was I'm nice, pleasantly shocked that you did so well. No, because I wasn't sure.
I'm appalled at my own performance, so I'm happy that I'm
Well,
happy it
I
was
wasn't sure. I wasn't
enough
sure how
for
well you would do with the Dennis Farina stuff, but
you. Yeah,
you
yeah.
did exceptionally well.
There's a buddy cop movie I'd like to see. Dennis Franz and Dennis Farina just
All right.
taking names and kicking butt. That would be a good
It's
movie.
going to be a little difficult to do because Dennis Farina is no
Yeah, a
longer with
little.
us.
They're both passed on, but that would have been a
No,
good
Dennis
film.
Franz is still alive.
Oh, Dennis Franz is still alive. That's right. That's right. Yeah. But Dennis Farina has sadly passed on.
Exactly. All right. So, Duncan, excellent job. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Just Google by Duncan Shields. Google Tronologically Speaking for an excellent podcast on deep dive on 1982's Tron, and also an episode by episode breakdown of the animated TV show Tron Uprising that Disney put out for 2 seasons. That was really good, with art direction by Robert Volley, that they, for some reason, pulled the plug on. Poor Tron. Poor Tron. And then there's this talk of doing Legacy in the future, and with Tron Ares coming out, we might dive into that a little more as well. And then also, Google Time Bandits Minute if you want to hear us talk about the fantastic 1981 movie Time Bandits.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Duncan, you want to come back tomorrow to finish the week?
I sure
All
do.
right. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.
My solitude.